How acupuncture works. Acupuncture works by stimulating circulation to parts of the body where the qi and blood are congested, or where there is weakness. This action can restore healthy function, relieve pain, and strengthen immune function. The body can be seen as an orchestra in which one instrument out of time or playing out of tune affects the sound of the whole. When all are playing together harmoniously, the production is a success. Similarly, our body's organs, glands, and major systems need to be working together in harmonious fashion to maintain healthy function. Choosing acupoints. Repeated experience in using certain acupuncture points on specific areas of the body, when similar cases come for treatment, provides the practitioner with many tried and proven acupuncture treatment protocols. The modern-day creation of TCM was geared toward establishing these protocols, where selected acupuncture points are used to treat specific conditions. Point combinations for health conditions can be found in most TCM texts. This method is often ridiculed as cookbook acupuncture. But in my experience, these general guidelines do hold great value if observed by a well-trained acupuncturist with a lot of clinical experience. As long as the clinician has the knowledge, experience, and skill, the patient will almost always get a very good result. These point combinations have worked for centuries and confirm acupuncture's efficacy. A safe and natural method. Acupuncture is safe, and without any serious side effects, one of the reasons for its widespread acceptance. The stainless steel needles themselves are pre-sterilized, and they are disposed of after each treatment. Acupuncture has been used by millions of Americans, and is recognized by the National Institutes of Health, NIH, and the Food and Drug Administration, FDA. The FDA regulates acupuncture needles as medical devices and rates them as safe and effective. The National Institutes of Health finished a 2.5-year study of acupuncture in November 1977. Their consensus statement reads, quote, "While it is often thought that there is substantial research evidence to support conventional medical practices, this is frequently not the case. This does not mean that these treatments are ineffective. The data in support of acupuncture are as strong as those for many accepted Western medical therapies. One of the advantages of acupuncture is that the incidence of adverse effects is substantially lower than that of many drugs, surgeries, or other accepted medical procedures used for the same conditions." Close quote. Acupuncture methods. Traditional acupuncture. Traditional acupuncture is the insertion of fine needles at specific acupuncture points in order to regulate circulation of qi and blood. These needles vary in length, width of shaft, and shape of head. Today, practitioners use needles that are disposable. They are used once and discarded in accordance with medical biohazard regulations and guidelines. There are many methods by which acupuncturists insert needles. The following techniques are some that may be used by an acupuncturist immediately following insertion. Lift and thrust. Twirling and rotation. Scraping. Vibrations sent through the needle. And trembling. Another vibration technique. Techniques are specifically chosen based on the therapeutic goal. Electroacupuncture. Electroacupuncture is where low-level electricity is attached to the needles through wires to get stronger stimulation. This method uses very small electrical impulses through the acupuncture needles. This technique is generally used for analgesia, pain relief, or prevention. The amount of power is only a few microamperes, but the frequency of the current can vary from 5 to 2,000 Hz. 7-star Plum Blossom Acupuncture. Plum blossom needle technique is an old method. 7 needles are tightly bound together and then tapped on acupuncture points and along meridian pathways. Electrodes can also be attached to the plum blossom in order to increase its therapeutic action. Electrodermal stimulation. Electrodermal stimulation, EDS, involves stimulating specific acupuncture points using an electrical device on the surface of the skin. Microcurrent stimulation is an example of this. Often, EDS is very effective for auricular acupoints. Laser acupuncture. Laser acupuncture uses a low-level laser to stimulate acupuncture points without penetrating the skin. In practice, I find laser acupuncture most effective for children. Adults don't seem to respond as well, perhaps because children are more sensitive to this low-level stimulation. It is a very safe and effective method. Acupressure. Acupressure is a manual technique where pressure is applied to specific acupuncture points. Pressure can be applied with the fingers, hands, or devices. Acupuncture is often combined with trigger point therapy to alleviate pain and muscle spasms. Acupressure and massage are most often the treatment of choice for pediatric cases. Acumagnets. Magnet therapy is where one places magnets on specific acupuncture points in an attempt to regulate the flow of qi and blood. The polarity of the magnets affects the circulation and can bring about relief for many conditions. I have found that acumagnets work about 50% of the time, and a person won't know if it works for them unless they try it. Essential acupuncture. Essential acupuncture is where essential oils are placed on specific acupuncture points. The oils are absorbed into these points and/or activate the acupuncture points. Essential acupuncture is one of the easiest home therapies you can do. There is a chart with beneficial oils, acupoints, and conditions presented in Chapter 8. Acupuncture systems for eye conditions. TCM acupuncture. TCM, or body acupuncture, is based on experiential points and point prescriptions for specific patterns and medical conditions. Acupuncture points along the meridians are selected and needled based on their traditional actions. Local acupuncture points are often selected around the eyes as part of the treatment plan. Although this system has been shown to be extremely effective in many conditions, in my experience, it is not especially effective for treating conditions of degenerative vision loss. Auricular acupuncture. Auricular acupuncture is one of the most important components of traditional Chinese acupuncture. In Chinese medical theory, there are more than 120 points on each ear related to specific parts of the body. Modern practitioners can simulate ear acupoints using needles, laser, and electrical stimulants. Auricular acupuncture theory suggests that the ear represents an inverted fetus, with stimulation points affecting the corresponding parts of the body. All major energy vessels of the body are thought to cross through the ear. While the earliest uses of ear acupuncture points date back to ancient China, modern applications of auricular acupuncture are based on the work of Dr. Paul Nogier of France. In the 1950s, Dr. Nogier noticed a curious scar on the upper ear of some of his patients. He found that a local practitioner had treated these patients for sciatica pain. This woman had cauterized a specific area of the external ear in order to relieve her patient's low back pain. Dr. Nogier conducted a similar procedure on his own sciatica patients and found that their back pain was also reduced. He experimented with stimulating this sciatica point using acupuncture needles. He found that they too were extremely effective in alleviating sciatica pain. Dr. Nogier theorized that if an area of the upper external ear is effective in treating low back pain, maybe other parts of the ear could treat other parts of the body. Nogier's theory contended that the auricle could be compared to an inverted fetus, with the head represented on the lower earlobe, the feet at the top of the external ear, and the rest of the body in between. Recently developed protocols related to auricular acupuncture are being introduced throughout the U.S. and Europe, and are being shown to have great results with many eye conditions. Based on the auricular acupuncture model, specific points on the auricle of the ear have been identified to benefit vision. There are 8 suggested points documented to help vision loss. An acupuncture point locator device is often used to determine which of these active points are to be treated, usually 2 to 5 points in each ear. The locator detects areas of reduced electrical resistance on the surface of the skin. Once these points have been identified, they may be stimulated with microcurrent stimulation, MENS, needles, acupuncture press tacks, and or pellets. Pellets and press tacks are usually left in for a number of days to promote ongoing stimulation. Stimulating these specific points has been shown to have remarkable clinical results for vision loss patients. I find this one of the more promising systems of acupuncture for degenerative vision loss. Japanese Meridian Acupuncture. The Japanese meridian system of acupuncture was developed in the 20th century, about the same time TCM was codified in China. Its theoretical foundation is derived from the Chinese medical classics. Many practitioners of meridian therapy in Japan were blind and had developed extremely delicate needling techniques based on touch and pulse diagnosis to balance the circulation of qi, Japanese for qi, in the 12 meridians. The emphasis in Japanese meridian acupuncture is on having the practitioner feel and correctly interpret the response of the qi in the patient, using pulse diagnosis for immediate feedback for every aspect of practice. Although I do not have much training in Japanese acupuncture, and do not use it much in practice, I understand that it can be somewhat effective in treating some eye conditions. Scalp acupuncture. Scalp acupuncture is a relatively modern, specialized acupuncture technique. Treatment zones have been mapped onto the scalp that are associated with body functions and broad body regions. The zones include a few standard acupuncture points, but the treatment principle for point selection is usually not based on the traditional indication for the point or associated meridian. During my training in China, I observed many acupuncturists who performed scalp acupuncture for conditions like stroke, paralysis, retardation, deafness, tinnitus, and vision loss. The results were nothing short of miraculous on many occasions. I didn't have enough time to complete what I would consider proper training in this method. I think that since scalp acupuncture is extremely beneficial for most neurological conditions, it warrants more investigation for its efficacy in treating degenerative eye conditions. A good scalp acupuncturist may be difficult to find in the U.S., but might be worth seeking out. I don't know of many who I would definitely say are well qualified. If you're interested in scalp acupuncture, the best bet is to check in the Chinatowns of major cities. This acupuncture method would be my second choice to microacupuncture for degenerative vision loss. I'm looking forward to investigating this system more in years to come. Microacupuncture. Microacupuncture is a new procedure involving 48 newly discovered acupuncture points located only in the hands and feet, and not associated with any other acupuncture system. These points were discovered and researched in Denmark in 1984. Thousands of people have been treated with this procedure throughout Europe and in the U.S. It has been observed that more than 80% of the patients treated had a marked improvement in their vision. Microacupuncture was originally developed as an experimental system to treat arthritis pain. When patients began to report improvements in their vision, it became evident that microacupuncture was effective for degenerative vision loss. I was fortunate enough to have had the opportunity to learn the system of microacupuncture directly from Per Ate. After years of treating patients, I found this method to be second to none as the primary treatment modality. In my opinion, microacupuncture is the best therapy available to people with degenerative vision loss. Improvement can usually be measured within 5 to 10 treatments. Patients have their vision tested before treatment commences, and then after, in order to ensure that they are responding. Once a positive response has been confirmed, the full course of treatment is carried out. It is recommended that patients return regularly for maintenance, depending on their condition. Chinese moxibustion. Chinese moxibustion, moxa, is the process of burning the herb Artemisia argi on, over, or near acupuncture points in order to increase circulation and function. Moxa can be applied locally or distally to various acupuncture points. Moxibustion herbal heat therapy remains one of the best means of dispersing cold stagnation of qi and blood in the eyes. There are a few methods of applying moxa. 1. Direct moxa applied to the skin. 2. Moxa stick, indirect. 3. Needle moxa. 4. Moxa shells for the eyes. In one method, walnut shells are soaked and dried in a ginger and clove tea, and then rested on the eyelids as half shells. Moxa is ignited over the shells to warm them. This brings about rapid penetrating warmth to the eyes, dispersing the cold. This method is still widely practiced in TCM hospitals throughout China, and is highly effective for helping various degenerative vision conditions. Shmuel Halevi, a practitioner of Chinese medicine in Israel, has promoted a more recent method of combination acupuncture called snail shell moxa. He uses snail shells instead of walnut shells and reports great results using this method for eye hemorrhaging and thrombosis. I have used this method in practice and found it extremely effective for retinal bleeding and hemorrhage associated with wet style ARMD and diabetic retinopathy. In all cases, it is important to make sure that the condition, bleeding, is stabilized. Once this is confirmed by an ophthalmologist, commencing local moxa therapy can be a great alternative to injections or laser procedures to stop the bleeding. I found that the snail shells are a bit difficult to heat and apply direct moxa onto, so I have substituted flatter clam shells, which seem to work just as well. In my opinion, all these methods will work. It's up to the practitioner to decide which one he or she is most comfortable applying. The basic idea of how moxa therapy works for retinal bleeding is similar to the mechanism of a pipe freezing and bursting in your house during the winter. The old pipes get cold and brittle, then crack. Laser surgery is like trying to solder the old brittle pipes. And injections are like caulking the leaks. In most cases, this is just patchwork, and the pipes can easily burst again. The moxotherapy warms the vessels and increases the flexibility and patency of the weak blood vessels. Taking herbs and foods to warm the body internally will help to expedite this process. Moxa can be done at home by just about anyone, using certain precautions. The specific methods of using moxa for retinal bleeding should only be performed by a trained practitioner who has had some experience in treating degenerative eye conditions. Using moxa for at-home therapy in the way of helping your vision will be discussed later in Chapter 8.